This is the Todd and Friends Podcast.
I don't like to waffle on predictions. That doesn't mean I always hope I'm right.
Oh, what's he going to do? Oh, come on.
I'm with you.
So, thank you.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Todd, I knew we'd agree on something here.
From the KWLM Sports Studio, with thanks to Heritage Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender, here's Todd Burgett.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast once again. And joining us on the telephone is Sean Bolson, one of our podcasters right from the beginning of this, as we're approaching 1,000 episodes, not too far off. I think we're in the 960s or something like that right now. Sean, thanks for being a part of this right from the beginning. I hope you've been having some fun with it.
Yeah, it is. I'm still waiting for that big commission check to come through, but
you might be waiting a while.
Yeah, I might wait till episode 1,000 and then come find you. So, no, it's been fun. You know, it started out as you kind of shot us a text and called us about some idea, and here we are, however, you know, farther down the road, and we were having a good time. So, I've enjoyed it.
That's for sure. Hey, you're my hockey guy. The Wild are, it looks like they're going to miss the playoffs. I mean, they're 8 points back, I think, with 11 games left, have to leapfrog two teams. It looks like a long shot for the Wild right now, doesn't it?
It does. I think, it's 8 or 9 points, 11 games. That we do have a game in hand. We got a couple games, you know, with Vegas, who's in front of us. But, you know, we really let a couple opportunities the last couple weeks go down.
Yeah.
And we didn't get them. And, you know, we get excited because, you know, we get hot for a week and a half and we're right in it. And then we, you know, we drop a couple and then we're out of it. And it's just kind of where, to be honest, we thought we would be the entire year.
Yep.
It's going to be the get hot for a week. You might sneak in, otherwise you're not. We're not in a position to make a run right now. We're not in a position that, hey, if we get in the playoffs, we think we can go deep. We've seen the 8th seed. You know, it wasn't that long ago the LA Kings were the 8th seed and they won the whole thing. You get a hot goaltender at the right spot and that can happen. But this Wild team just doesn't feel like a team that, if it did sneak in, which it doesn't appear to this year, it's not going to make any noise. So,
yeah.
You know, we know where we're at. We want to continue to build. So next year and then really the following years, we can put together a team where we can make a run for the Cup.
Joel Eriksson Ek has been out with an injury. What's his kind of – I know he's a center. He does some scoring. He's not prolific necessarily, but he seems to be one of their glue guys on the team.
He is, and he might not be Kaprizov prolific, but, yeah. I mean, he's put up some extremely good numbers.
Okay.
And the big thing you hear about quality centers in the league is the 200-foot. And it's an overused cliche, but a 200-foot centerman, you know, is defensively responsible and just, you know, does a good job in his own zone, but yet can get out and create offense. And Eriksson Ek really is the epitome of that. The guy is an extremely strong person to have down the middle. And when you have talented wings like, you know, a Boldy and a Kaprizov, and to have somebody who is defensively responsible and just does his thing allows those wings to play a little freer. And just, you know, he's really good on the dot, winning faceoffs, and just somebody you really want on your team. And, you know, he's not a fighter, but he's a big, tough guy, too. You know, he's not little. He's put together well. And you think about playoff hockey and needing, you know, guys that can withstand some of the barrages that these other teams bring. You know, he's somebody you want on your team in those times. So I really like the maturation of him and just how he has turned into what he is right now. And he's a key guy for us. So, yeah, I think as he continues to develop, he, you know, put your pieces around.
Yeah. You know, and I guess I was thinking that he's not that prolific because it took him a little while to find his scoring touch in the NHL. I mean, he wasn't in the first few years of his career. He was almost a non-entity offensively. And now this year he is having his best season already. 29 goals is a career high for him, besting 26 he had two seasons ago.
Yeah, his first couple of years he did relatively no scoring.
Yeah.
But he's really developed into something. I mean, a 30-goal scorer in the league, that's huge.
Yeah.
So offensively, he's figured it out. And like I said, he's just been very a good defensive piece to have on your team. And when you have that combination, that's a great combo.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And then Jonas Brodin is another guy. And I'm asking you about these guys because they've been injured recently for the Wild, and it seems to have hampered their play. Some Brodin, a defenseman, but he's one of their, he might be their best defenseman.
Yeah, you know, with Spurgeon and Faber,
yeah,
you have three really good defensemen right there. So, you know, like we've talked in the past, we have really good pieces to build around. This year, Spurgeon's been out. You know, he had his back surgery, a month or two ago, a couple months ago, I think. Mm-hmm. And then Faber has just played at a level, you know, defenseman that you look at it and you think, hey, this could be that 15-year defenseman that you have on the back end, which is really exciting. Brodin has been a top-notch defenseman for a while. So getting all our pieces back and healthy, you know, everybody in the NHL is dealing with lingering injuries and such at this point, and it's kind of the battle of who can get through it. But, you know, we've had some key injuries along with being shorthanded. So it's just kind of left us in a spot where we're mediocre, and that's, I think, where we're going to end this year. But, you know, Brodin, Spurgeon, Faber, and then some of our forwards, we got some positivity going forward.
Yeah, no doubt. So even if they miss the playoffs this year, but they've played better the second half of the season, are you encouraged about their prospects going forward?
I am. And, you know, the one person we haven't talked about that, you know, also the first year didn't do anything, you know, we've been waiting for this Rossi to emerge. And he's done pretty well. And he stayed in Minneapolis last year, trained, put on a little bit of weight, got a little stronger. He's had a really nice year. And Boldy, you know, they always talk about a sophomore slump, and now we're into this year, and here he's playing well. So I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged that going forward, we're going to be all right. You know, Hines has done a nice job. It seemed like, you know, Evason had kind of been the same voice for a while, and I don't know that it was really him, but sometimes you kind of lose the locker room. And, yeah. And so here we are going forward, and I think optimistic going into next year.
Is Hines the coach next year?
I think he is, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he's done a good job. I haven't seen any glaring, yelling, saying, hey, this just isn't the answer. He's done a nice job, and the team has responded. At times played really well. At times our talent level against some of these teams has not been up to par on where we want it. But, yeah, I think he'll be back.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned Brock Faber earlier because we're down to the NCAA hockey tournaments. The Gophers have made it. Unfortunately, Caden's MSU Mankato team didn't make it, but the team that knocked them off did get into the tournament, right?
Yeah, Michigan Tech is in, and then the Gophers play Omaha's old team. So
yeah.
I'm excited to kind of watch that tomorrow. Everything kicks off tomorrow. I don't have the brackets in front of me, but there's some pretty good matchups. And, you know, you always have your top teams, but this is one of those tournaments where, you know, you can see anything happen. And so, you know, Sioux Falls is one of the regional sites where the Gophers go. And kind of exciting to, you know, Gophers and Omaha in Sioux Falls, kind of a halfway point.
Yeah,
and you know, it should be a fun matchup. I know the Gophers. I listened to Bob Moscow's podcast the other day, and very optimistic. You know, he's got a team with young talent, and then he's got some older veterans that I'm excited to watch. I've known a lot of these kids since they were little. Jackson Nelson, one of their big centermen. He and Cade, I think, come together maybe when they're 8 or 9. So okay. I've known his parents and him for quite a while, and a lot of the other guys we've played with. So kind of fun to watch these kids all mature and get to the point and make a run, and so I think it'll be a really good tournament.
Yeah, no doubt. They're playing at the Denny Sanford Center. You're familiar with that. I watched Caden play a hockey game over there in the USHL when he was there. So nice arena. Interesting that they put North Dakota, one of the teams that really draws, in an arena in Maryland it's in Missouri, Maryland Heights, Missouri. That only has a capacity of 2,500 people. So I guess some of the tickets on the secondary market are going for over $5,000 to go to that first University of North Dakota game. Why do you think they would put that in such a small arena?
Well, I'm not sure why it's in that small arena because, you know, some of the other arenas, I went out a couple years ago when he played for Omaha and they made it out in Loveland, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a 10,000-12,000 seat arena. Sanford's the same thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't make a lot of sense why you would host it there. North Dakota always travels well.
Yeah.
They didn't get put into, you know, what they try to do is they get the top teams somewhat regionally based. And but North Dakota being down there doesn't make a lot of sense. It's going to be a lot of green. I mean, even when I watched the NCHC finals between Denver and Omaha at the XL, there weren't a ton of people there, but, boy, there were green jerseys sparkled in everywhere, even when they weren't playing. So
yeah.
North Dakota travels really well, and, you know, good luck getting your tickets down there.
Yeah, spend thousands to try and see your team on the secondary market. A little bit unfortunate on that. So do the Gophers have a chance to win that? I think they're the 2 seed in their region.
Yeah, they definitely have a chance. You know, when the Gophers are playing good and Justin Close, their goalie, is on, you know, they have offensive firepower. Rhett Petlick, his dad's one of my best buddies, yeah. and Cade lived with them for a couple years while he was attending school down there. He's one of their top goal scorers. And then Jimmy Snuggerud, who actually his dad started that breakaway academy where, yeah, Rhett and Cade went. Jimmy's, you know, a top goal scorer for him too. So lots of offensive talent on that team. You get good, you know, like we see, even see in the NHL, you get good goaltending and you have offensive capabilities, you can go a long ways in the tournament.
That's for sure. Let's hope the Gophers can do just that. There hasn't been a lot of Twins games for spring training on television. Of course, I follow them a lot more. You guys kind of say I'm the baseball guy, you're the hockey guy, Snow is the kind of the basketball guy. But have you, the Twins, I'm concerned that they don't have enough pitching this year. So yesterday or Monday with Greg, I predicted 84 wins, I think, for the Twins, which is about 6 games over .500, and might win the division. They won 87 games last year, but they don't have as much pitching, I don't think. How do you see the Twins' season coming up, Sean?
Well, you know, you got Lopez, big-time
yep.
starter,
yep.
and then you just kind of have pieces around him. You know, Sonny Gray, who now is injured, you know, he left. We had a chance to get him. We didn't. There were some other free agent pitchers that I thought we could have made a run at that ended up signing for numbers that,
yep.
you know, we could have done.
Yep.
But, you know, what do they call it? The Polad pocket protectors just seem to, you know, put their hands over their wallet and say this is what we're going for. Kind of frustrating. I was at one of the playoff games last year.
Yeah.
It was an electric atmosphere.
Boy, I know.
Everybody wanted to be there, and it was just really exciting. And so to come off a year like that and essentially have the ownership say, yeah, by the way, that was really fun, but we're not going to really make any moves to improve.
Yep.
I think a bit frustrating for the fan base. So offensively, you know, I think we can score some runs, but it will come to depth on our pitching staff to really see if we can make any noise. We're in a not great division, which helps us.
Yep.
But yet, you know, it would have really been nice to take a step forward and grab something to solidify it and say, hey, we are excited about what happened last year, and we're going to build upon that. And I haven't had that feeling this year.
No, and they blame it all on the regional sports networks and that. But there were other teams that were dealing with the same thing. So I bring this up in part because it was frustrating to see Jordan Montgomery pitched. You know, he's a terrific left-hander, big left-handed pitcher. And he signed a deal yesterday for 1 year and $25 million. Well, that certainly is. The Twins have a $30 million less payroll this year than they had last year. So they would still be reducing the payroll if they had matched that offer. Maybe he doesn't come here for one and 25. I don't know. But that's the contract he signed yesterday. Certainly could have been done by the Twins. And then you'd have a left-hander in your rotation. It is frustrating.
It is very frustrating. And, you know, I was reading about that. And then the other, who's the lefty out in the National League?
Yeah,
in
Snell. Blake Snell.
Snell.
Yeah.
They both were available for $30 million-ish.
Yeah.
And, you know, those were two pieces that we could have added if we'd have gone after.
Yep.
And so I don't understand it. I don't, you know what they're thinking. If it's just strictly a money piece of it and we don't want to, you know, dip into our pocketbooks, or, you know, if there's something we don't know. But you have the Bailey Obers, and I mean, we have people starting that are okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, we don't have other than Lopez, we don't have another, you know, big time guy, which would have been excited to sign. But, you know, I guess it's not surprising for any of us. We've seen the Twins do this in the past, and they're just continuing down a path that they seem to be financially comfortable with.
Yeah. It seems like they're the Twins. It's going to be all dependent on health. Well, it is for most teams, but I don't think there's any other team in baseball that would have their 2, 3, and 4 hitters, the middle of the order guys, Buxton, Correa, and Royce Lewis for the Twins. That's what it's looked like, how they've been lining them up. I've been looking at the lineups and so forth, and that's what they had yesterday. It looked like yesterday was the starting lineup probably for the season going forward. But no team has the entire heart of their order with all of those guys that are extreme injury risk. I mean, Royce Lewis played 58 games last year. He's had multiple major injuries. Hopefully he can stay healthy. We all know about Buxton. Correa has had many seasons interrupted by injury for him as well. If all three of those guys can give us 130 games, the Twins really could win actually just as many games at least as last year, if not more. The problem I see is that what are the odds that all three of those guys will stay healthy all year?
What are the odds Buxton plays 100 games for?
100 games, you know, let alone 140, yep.
We're not that far removed from Buxton. You know, is he going to DH? Can he play in the field? I mean, Buxton, when he's in center field, he is a valuable piece to us.
Yep.
When he's just DHing, he's just another guy, and he's not that great.
Yep.
So him staying healthy and being able to do what he does is key. Correa, I mean, we only have him because he ran through – you know, I think it was the Mets and a couple other guys when he was a free agent, and he didn't pass the physical due to an ankle.
Yeah.
So he's always a bit questionable. Now, Royce is so fun to watch. But,
yes.
I mean, if you go back, we put him in a spot that essentially got him injured when we were playing him out of position.
Yep.
And so this was the Twins trying to put a square peg in a round hole, and it didn't work, and then we cost him an injury. So we haven't handled him very well.
No.
If we can handle these guys good going forward and they can stay healthy, yeah, that's a really potent, you know, 2-3-4 in your lineup.
But it is.
The key is, can they stay healthy?
That's just it, and that'll be a day-by-day basis as we watch it going forward. Timberwolves have looked pretty good, actually, without Karl Anthony Towns. They haven't lost ground, really, in the standings. They're third in the West, a game and a half back, but still right there. They could still get the top seed. They have adapted pretty well to losing Towns for this amount of time.
They have, and you know, they see that he'll probably be back right around that first round of the playoffs, which would be huge to get him back. I'd like to get him back a little bit before the playoffs start to kind of acclimate him back into the lineup. We all know it takes people a little bit coming off an injury, but you know, we've done really, really good holding firm where we're at. We have different pieces step up quite a bit, and then we have, you know, some of the key with Ant and Gobert, and, you know, Conley, Ben Steady. So trying to figure out exactly how we can get to where we want to before we get fully healthy. You know, exciting, because if we have everybody, I do think everybody around the league knows we can definitely make a run at this.
Yeah. I like that they signed T.J. Warren for the rest of the season. He's kind of a role player, but, you know, he provides some of that depth up front. I mean, we aren't that far removed from when we didn't have Gobert or Towns and Kyle Anderson, and then we were really short Naz Reid. Then we were really short-handed up front, so keeping Warren, I thought, was a key piece. I like this Monty Morris that they picked up, too. He's kind of a big-bodied point guard. He's only 6'2", but he's thick and can defend number twos as well out there. So he's been a nice pickup. So Tim Connelly's done a pretty good job adding guys as he's needed to.
He has, and I like him too. He's a big, strong guard. You think about that guy winning the lottery, coming from what? Didn't we get him from the Pistons?
Yeah.
And the Pistons, you know, had gone, what, 20 games in a row earlier this year. They hadn't won, and it was just really frustrating for him. And to come here and be a piece that can be a good backup and a big, strong you need that. You need depth in the playoffs, and you need big bodies that can survive. So hopefully they'll continue to finish the year strong. We get all our pieces back, and then we can make a run in the playoffs.
Well, Sean, I hope the golf season hasn't been backed up too much by this recent snows, but I'm afraid it has, probably for 10 days, 2 weeks anyway.
Yeah, and it'll come back, and it'll be fine. You know, it happens every winter, most winters, where you get some nice weather, and all of a sudden you're like, here we go, and then you get dumped on. So
that's
what happened. It's Minnesota.
Yeah.
That's why we only get the golf X number of months a year. But it'll be better before we know it.
Yep, that's right. And next week I'll be gone. Greg is hosting, but the week after that is Masters week, so we'll get to make our Masters predictions coming up the next time that we chat on the program here. Sean, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Todd.
Sean Bolson here on the Todd and Friends podcast. It's brought to you by Heritage Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Watch for future episodes of the Todd and Friends podcast at KWLM.com or on the air here at KWLM, 1340 AM and 96.3 FM.